Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Sunday, January the 11th, 2015, and I am very grateful to be with you as we look at three very, very good questions. And I want to thank those of you who take the time to write me, to listen to the program, but also to write. This is very, very kind of you, and you just never know what you're question might be to someone else. It might be helping them. It's service to humankind in a very interesting way. It may not help you, but it might help someone else. So you just never know. And it's very generous. And I want to thank my sponsors. It is only through their kind donations, their faithful donations, that this radio program exists, that my TV programs exist, that any of this exists. You say, well, you know, who cares? Well, there are those of us that do, and maybe this needs to be out there just for the sake of being out there, and that's all it's about, is just having it there, and may it serve you very, very well. We have a lot of radio listeners, a lot of TV watchers, so it is helping in many, many different ways. Let's go to the first question from Stan in San Diego. He has been a watcher and a listener for ages and ages. When I was down in San Diego teaching, formerly he was there. So he often listens to the radio program and asks questions, and it's wonderful. How can I care? How can I really help and really care? Stan. And he's talking about humanity because his email was talking about the state of humanity. Stan, there is nothing any of us can do about the world. Jesus said it well, live in the world, but don't let the world live in you. Very powerful statement, very true statement. But the people have a very difficult time with it. Should we just be selfish? Should we just take care of our own? How should we deal with what is going on in the world and what this world is really all about? How do we deal with that? Well, it's not very easy for most people to understand. Listen to me and try to hear what I'm saying. If you care, really care about humanity, you will do everything you can to come to that place where love exists within you. You will do everything you can to be of service to humankind through the practice of your heart and your soul. You will do everything you can in a quiet and yet consistent way of serving humankind by loving, giving, and forgiving. Meditation would be essential here. Because only in meditation do we recognize the way. Do we understand the ebb and flow of it all? Work upon yourself. Don't try to change the world. Don't try to make this a better place for people to live, yada, yada, yada. There is no Camelot here. This is not a world where you're going to find great moments of harmony with each other. Could it be that way? I don't know. Not with the personalities we have, not with the greed we have, not with the anger we have, not with the fear we have. Everything we do is about a certain form of fear. So I don't feel like that is the way. The way is to blossom inside. Come what may in the world, come what may through this lifetime, if it is met in a consciousness of love, a consciousness of kindness, you have done a lot. You have done amazing things, but you're not going to change people. And you need to understand that you're not going to change people. People are going to be what people want to be. People are going to be the result of their desires, their ambition, their pride, their vanity, their hate, their fear. And there's nothing you can do about that. Jesus did not change the world. Buddha did not change this world. Gandhi did not change this world. No one changes the world. We are filled with all sorts of things from past lives and what we bring with us. We are the Ebola of life. Our carbon footprint is nothing but hate and fear wherever we go because we have not matured into love. We only live emotionally. And when I am more emotional than I am, shall I say, loving, then I am going to bring into this life and into this world some ugly things. You're not going to change people. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate kindness. You can't legislate insight. This is a personal matter. You're going to have to find this stand within you. You're going to have to pursue inner life, not outer life. And if you pursue inner life with the idea that you will change the outer world, you are so very wrong. That isn't going to happen. The outer life is the outer life. It is a conglomerate of all sorts of myths and fears and angers that you and I can do nothing about. All we can take care of is ourselves. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying be selfish. When I say take care of ourselves, I mean meditate, work upon myself, do my own transformation. I am not talking about not helping people who are in need, not helping people who are hurting. I'm not talking about that, so please don't misunderstand. And there's every chance for anyone listening to me to misunderstand. I am here to serve. Whoever is before me is within me. Whoever is before me, they must come first. You first, if you read my commentary for New Year's. First you, then me. Now, if you can live with that, if you can live in that, then you have made a stand some tremendous changes in your life. You have made some gigantic strides forward. You have come to the point where something authentic can exist within you. So should you want to do this, should you want to go forward, then good, do it. But if you want to be like most people, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. That won't work because the intent isn't in love. The intent isn't in kindness. The intent is not to bring love to any given situation. It is our energies that matter. How I do anything is how I do everything. So Stan, start looking at the little things. How you make your bed in the morning. I tell my students this all the time. How you clean your house. How you share with another person. Talk to people. Watch. Watch. Observe and watch. See things for the way they are, not what you believe them to be. Start to look at the way of your heart, not the method of your head. Don't strategize your giving and your forgiving. Just give. Just forgive. Don't strategize it. Don't think in terms, well, if I do this, I'll get that. If I don't do that, I won't have this. Don't live like that. Everyone that is before you is there for a reason that is beyond the speculation of my judgments and my own mind. If I can listen to people, really listen to them, and find myself in every person, then I've done something very caring, very loving, very compassionate. Then I have made changes in my life. Real change. So be kind, Stan. Do the things that make love possible. Only do the things that make love possible. Do them first within yourself. And then when you are in the world, make room for people. Make room for kindness and love. Make room for everything that would bring you to that place of loving kindness. And don't wonder what you're going to get in return, because if you do, you will miss also. It's all about letting love live you. in total abandonment of fear and hate and emotion and passion, just to let love live you. Stan, once again, I thank you. I thank you for your interest, your kindness, and for this beautiful question. And please forgive me. Namaste. I don't know if people want to help anymore. I think socially, people want to help. I work at hospice, and during the Christmas season, when things really got tough and there were a lot of people in need, families in need, etc., all the quote-unquote volunteers or quote-unquote good people were off doing what they wanted to go do. Traveling with their families, yada-da-yada-da. So we wouldn't be willing to sacrifice our Christmas experience for the sake of service to humankind? A bogus kind of holiday that is truly foolish and has nothing to do with the what everybody wants to pretend is the real meaning of Christmas? You know, you look at it and you think to yourself, really? Really? That's as far as it goes? That's as far as it goes. And that's the way people are. And what can you do? Suffer a little bit. How far do you suffer to care, to really help? Would you give up your Christmas dinner or your morning Christmas unwrapping of gifts, which I find to be absurd, for the sake of helping someone who is dying? Would you? The next one comes from Linda. Exactly what is this collective unconscious you speak of all of the time? I hear you talk about it on your TV program. Could you please help me, Linda? The collective unconscious, it's a very dangerous thing, Linda. It really is. It's a combining. So the best way to think of it is this way. Out there in the world, there are psychic energies, energies that come from every human being. We emit an energy. This energy is where I live from within myself. This energy perpetuates itself by uniting with other energies that are very similar, like begets like. So you are sending out this energy of your intent. I don't know you, Linda, so I'm just going to throw out the poop, and you can deal with it the way you want to. So fear is a really powerful part of the collective unconscious. It emits from everyone. Everyone's afraid. Oh, they don't act afraid, but if you ask them, let's say, to give or forgive, you're going to strike a terror in their heart. Most people can't forgive. And the reason they can't is because they've been so ugly in their own life. They've been so painful in their own living. They can't give. There is no possible way for them to do that. So they pretend to give only when they feel like it, or when they think there's some leftover energy or money or whatever. This is a part of the collective unconscious. This giving, this non-forgiving, this self-righteousness, this moire, all of the things that we count on in our culture to withstand living with each other. And that's about what it is. This fog rolls in 24/7. And it surrounds you. And I connect to it whenever I'm in the state of my fear, or I'm acting out of Greg's hate. And when I act out of these two things, I am cleaving to this collective unconscious, and I am both drawing energy from it, and I'm giving energy back to it. And this relationship I have with the collective unconscious becomes the relationship I'm having with my entire life and lifetime. And nothing ever changes from it. It just keeps going and going and going and going. The more you bathe yourself in it, the more you draw from it in order to feel, let's say, powerful, or let's say it alters your mood or brings you certain moods or makes you feel crusty and chippy, then there you are. And most of us do this. We do it without knowing because we are not conscious. It determines the rest of our life. Most of our life is determined by this collective unconscious. And we just keep going with it over and over and over again. We never question it. No one ever questions it. Hell, no one ever questions themselves. They just don't. They think I'm normal. I'm good. I know what I'm doing. Everyone likes to believe they know what they're doing. We know not what we do. And that is the ultimate fact of our life. We know not what we do. We just want to believe we know what we do. So there you are. This fog is cast over the many, all of us, who are just reluctant to do any kind of inner work upon ourselves in order to sustain love over hate. We're not into love. We're into hate. We like to hate. We like to fear. These two things are very, very important to the collective unconscious. And because we live in this, in total abandonment of love, in total abandonment of our interest even in love, it just keeps going and going, manifesting itself in very odd ways. So when you are sitting there and all of a sudden you feel this mood come over you, or you feel like you know that you know everything, it all comes from the collective unconscious and how you support it with your anger and your fear. And as long as you do this, it will keep going and growing. And the more people that we bring onto this planet, the more we make children, the more we invite this into the world, and the more this happens to us in our life over and over and over and over again. What can I say? This is the way we choose to live. So, when you think you're making choices in your life and you think you're living your own life, the truth of the matter is you're not. You're living the life of the collective unconscious. Most people are living other people's lives. They don't recognize it. There's a collective in your family. There's a collective in your neighborhood. There is a collective in your city. There's a collective in your state. On and on it goes. It's a dense energy. And most of us like it and feel akin to it because there's so much fear and hatred in it. And as long as there is this fear and hatred that we want to perpetuate as the meaning of our life, it will be the meaning of our life. And there is nothing that I could say or do that would change it for you, because you would just think I was crazy and making up stories. And you probably do even now. I understand that. But less than none, and nonetheless, it is true. I've found this as my own direct experience. I have recognized it for what it is in me. This is why we all need to work very diligently on understanding the nature of our fear and how it is supported by the collective unconscious, and why it is so difficult to get away from. It is based in the collective and emotion. You put emotion to the whole idea of looking at your life and all of the DNA you have and the fear that came from your DNA. And the more you connect to your DNA, the more fear you will have. The more you disconnect from your DNA, disconnect from the emotionality of it all, the more you will find love, authentic love. You would think people would want to do that, wouldn't you, Lynn? But they don't. Linda, I'm sorry. They don't. They simply don't, because that's the way they are. Family, DNA, body is everything. And until that changes, as Jesus said, your greatest enemy are those of your own household, nothing is going to change. It was true in the days of the Buddha and Jesus and Lao Tzu, and it will be true forever on this planet until we implode upon ourselves. I hope that helps you. Linda, thank you for your kind question, and it was very intelligent. Please forgive me. Namaste. I like it when people tell me that they're their own person. Really, you're your own person. You really believe that, that you are your own person. Really? Last question. This one comes from Kathy. She does not tell me where she lives. What is a retreat with you? They sound difficult, even frightening. Does anybody go to them? Kathy. Yes, Kathy, people do go. But they are frightening to those who cleave to the collective, cleave to their ego. Evidently, it's not your time to work upon yourself. A lot of people don't think they have to work upon themselves. They think it is an optional thing. Oh, you do it when, you know, you feel like it. Otherwise, you're just fine. You're not just fine. And you're missing the point of your entire life. I don't serve people who are superficial and petty. I've had superficial and petty people come to my retreats. They don't last long. I make sure of that. They really take themselves out on their own. I don't have to do much. People are know-it-alls. So, you know, it's really easy to take them out. A retreat is a very special experience. You have to be of a certain caliber of person, a certain elk. You can't just be looking for answers strategically in a kind of automatic way. When you come to a retreat, you are retreating. You are moving away from your everyday life. You're moving away from your human experience. You're moving away from your emotionality. You are looking at your life from an entirely different point of view. You are willing to, if you come to a retreat, to have an experience outside the common mediocrity of the mind and the emotions that govern the mind. This takes a very rare person. Yes. And we work diligently, meditatively. I use Gestalt therapy. I help you understand one thing, the futility of the way the mind strategizes its life, your life, and actually builds and lives it for you rather than allows you to be liberated in love. This is a very difficult thing for people to do. Most people cannot, will not, do not do that in this world. The people that I am blessed and fortunate enough to work with are people who are not perfect, but they're intrigued. They feel a definite pull. A pull, Kathy, to something they can't explain and they don't need to explain. A pull to something that doesn't make sense to them, but rather transforms them. If it makes sense, it can't be real. Sensible people are not good students. Only those who are mystical in their nature, those who seek the uncommon, illogical. If you can seek the illogical, if you can drop your logic and the illogic of your logic, and you are willing to see something beyond what you can think and emotionalize, then you have the makings of a person who is working upon themselves. Now, people will ask, and I'm sure you're asking behind all of this, what do I get out of it? What's the value of this? The value of it is you awaken. Certain parts of you are awakening in ever so small a schmiggins, but you are awakening. People who come slowly, slowly, slowly have an accumulation of consciousness rather than unconsciousness. They're starting to build into that life. They're starting to make a bridge to that beautiful thing called the other shore that lives within them. It is the heart. the beingness of you. And when you start making that bridge to the other shore inside you, and you are no longer living emotionally, you are no longer living in hate and fear, you feel a transformation beginning to happen. Now, love becomes authentic. Love becomes real. Love becomes contagious. And it can spread. It can spread to your family, to your friends, to your own life. And you will start to realize this thing has meaning. This thing has purpose. This thing called life is bigger than what we thought it was. And now you can live more consciously and directly. And if you can do that, you have sustained a something called service to humankind. And you have fulfilled your authentic nature, which is what this is all about. Fulfilling your nature. Doesn't sound to me, Kathy, like this would probably appeal to you, but maybe I'm wrong. But if it does, and you're curious, come and join us. But you must understand, your ego, your fear, your vanity, your hate, your pride will be at stake. Thank you, Kathy, for your beautiful question. And please forgive me. Namaste. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my sponsors for making this possible. And if you ever have a question or a comment, you know how to get it. Get it answered. Go up to the top of the page on the Aspire website. You'll see contact. Please send me an email. I would love to hear from you. I'd be honored. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me. Namaste.